I just well, is that same in finding a spouse? Is it you just know? Is that just first, like you said, with your spiritual father, something special and just know that's the person?
It's very similar, but you need to get to know the other person. With your spiritual father, you need to get to know him, and he needs to get to know you. And then if you see that something is not exactly working in the relationship, you need to search for something different. It's the same with a spiritual father. In the Orthodox Church, we have the right, if we're not comfortable with our spiritual father, to look for someone else. It's our right. We are free to do so. And that's how it is.
Thank you. Is there any other questions?
Yeronda, if we want something that's not part of God's will God give it to us anyway just so we can learn from it?
God can give it to you anyway, but it depends how much we love God, because if we truly love God, we don't want anything else. And if we truly love God, God does not judge twice. I can tell you two examples on this. So when Saint Sophronius of Essex was in Mount Athos, we might have heard of him. He was Russian, he went to Mount Athos as a monk, and then he ended up in England, and he founded a monastery in Essex where he was buried, and he's a saint, a very big saint. So when he was in Mount Athos in the Russian monastery, the abbot of the time, he had a special grace from God, because there were like thousands of monks. Whatever he was to say, if they were not obeying to what he would tell them, something bad would happen to them, to understand that. Anyway, so if, for example, he was to say to someone, go to the port and help with the arrivals that we've got today, and he was to go to the forest to cut down some trees, a tree might fall on him. And these things were happening so people would be obedient to him. He was a holy man. So when Elder Sophronius was in his monastery, in this monastery, in Mount Athos, St. Pantaleimon's monastery, once the abbot asked him to learn Greek. He was Russian, he was a man of prayer, so he had to forget about prayer in a way and start learning Greek. And when he started doing this, he felt like his prayer stopped, and his mind from the heart, from his heart went to his brain, and from the brain fell on the book, meaning that he couldn't pray and he had to focus on something which he didn't like. So he went back to his abbot and he said, can we just forget about learning Greek? And his abbot told him, God does not judge twice. So he was obedient, and what happened after that was that Elder Sophronius, Saint Sophronius, ended up being a confessor in a lot of monasteries in Mount Athos, and they were Greek-speaking monasteries, and he saved a lot of people, and he helped thousands of monks because of his obedience to learn Greek. And I will tell you another example, which is personal. I don't know how it will sound, but we might as well say it. When I first came to Australia, I went to see Archbishop Stylianos back then, and I came with the intention to go to the monastery in Perth, so I was not thinking of anything else. But he gave me three options. One was this, another one which doesn't matter what it was, and the other option was for me to stay close to him, next to him, and he would have made me an archimandrite. And I felt that this is what God wanted from me. Then and there, I felt in my heart that God didn't want me to go to the monastery in Perth. God wanted me to stay with the Archbishop Stylianos there in Sydney. But I came to Australia because I was going in a monastery. I didn't come here to become an archimandrite or a bishop. So I told him, I want to follow the plan that we had and go to the monastery in Perth. I did. 15 years later, I ended up here. And I didn't even realize how it happened 15 years later, because we lost the previous archbishop. And the new archbishop who came did not even know me. I've never met him before. He never met me before. And we ended up in a stage that he asked me to be his chancellor. And this time I said yes. And I came to Sydney. Now I'm leaving from Sydney. I'm going to Brisbane. God works in mysterious ways. But if we really want God's will, even if we miss out unintentionally, like I did not have the spiritual maturity back then, how many years ago, 17 years ago, to understand that if God wanted me to do something which I never thought of before, I should just do it without questioning. It's not that I didn't want to do it. I did not have the spiritual maturity back then to do it. And I didn't. But I didn't with pure intention. I did not reject it because I wanted to be something. I just, yeah, it was an information that came to me very suddenly. I didn't have the time to process it. I thought I shouldn't, and I didn't, but I should have, and I didn't. Mm. So we all make mistakes. Mm. It's all right. I ended up here anyway.
Is there any other questions?
Other question.
There you go.
Yeah, just a quick question. If you're on a certain path and keep hitting roadblocks and obstacles, how do you discern if that's a sign to change the path, or if it's just part of the temptation on your path?
Dimitri, you have a very good spiritual father. You should ask him. No, I'm serious. Yeah. When there are too many difficulties ahead, we need to talk to our spiritual father, because he knows us inside out, and he will tell us what the proper thing for us is. And then you go from there. But if you don't have a spiritual father, the only option you've got is to follow the peace of your heart. And that's it. Sometimes the obstacles, they are to make us stronger. Sometimes the obstacles, they are there to tell us, wake up. It depends. If we can't discern, we need to ask our spiritual father. And seriously, we all need to pray to God to give us a person to understand us spiritually. You don't understand how important this is, to have someone to understand you spiritually. It's like someone opens the door in front of you to go straight to heaven. It doesn't mean that we won't do the work. We will do the work, but at least we will know what's right and what's wrong, which is very important. So ask your spiritual father and he will tell you. Does this answer your question?
Yeah.
Mm. Sorry.
Does anyone else have any questions or comments? Maybe experiences I want to share? It's a very broad topic, so is there anything at all?
Alright, let's say you're living a life and, you know, there's partying involved, you've got friends who are away from the church and you just don't know where to go. I'm sure there's some people in here who don't know what a spiritual father is, and it's just the first time hearing it. So for me, a spiritual father is someone who guides me. He's like my mentor, just like a boxer has a boxing coach. I have a spiritual father, sort of like this. So for anyone here who's in that stage where we got people around where, you know, they want to come closer to Christ and find a spiritual father, where can they start?
How do you start to find a spiritual father?
Yeah, what's the beginning of
okay.
this
line? We said you have to avoid Gumtree.
Unless you find a good deal.
Tempting. Yeah. All right. We need to pray. We need to pray. And God listens. Don't think that God doesn't listen. God listens. God listens, and He will answer with the right person at the right time. But what you're saying is very important. Without a coach, you can't do anything. Like, you will go to a certain point, and if you want a deeper spiritual life, it's very tricky. You can be in the wrong path very easily without understanding it. That's why you need someone who's experienced. And if anybody wants to have a life of prayer, for example, you need a spiritual father who knows about prayer. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So, yeah, I think that you can search around, you can go and talk to some spiritual fathers, see how you feel inside you, but the most important thing is to pray, and God will lead you to the right person. And I'm telling you, once you find this person, just be obedient, because it will save you a lot of trouble in your life. A lot of trouble. Like 15 years in prison for me. A lot of trouble. Yeah.
Is there anything else?
You know, we've got a question that's come through Facebook. Someone's asked, in this secular world, which comes with a lot of anxieties, how do we find balance between our work, education, and spiritual life?
There is a lot of anxiety in our lives, that's for sure. How do we find a balance between education, work, and spiritual life? Yes. It's not easy. It's not easy. But that's why we need the spiritual father here. We need the coach. So if you have to work to survive, you need to work to survive. This is a given. You can't not. But at the same time, we should not live to work, because then our lives, they're gone. We don't live, we just work. And then if you have education on top of it, you need to balance it. Every person is different. Your spiritual father has to discern where your path is heading in life and give you the right formula. So for someone, he might tell him, pray for 10 minutes. And for someone else, he might tell him, pray for more. It depends on the strength of the person. It depends on the spiritual ability of the person. It depends how much someone might be struggling to study. It depends how much someone is exhausted after work. It's not like you give a prescription to everyone. It's the same. We're not all like sardines in a tin. Everyone is different. And this is why we need a spiritual father who will give us a personal question to our personal, a personal answer to our personal question. Elder Milianos, my spiritual father, if you were to ask him something, if there were two people to ask him the same question, he would give two different answers. Because everyone is different, different personality as it is. So it's everybody needs a personalized answer, the same way that everybody needs different size clothes and different food if someone needs, has special needs.
Just have a quick question. So you mentioned before about letting people make their own mistakes. So my question is, if you've gone through that path and you know what it's going to lead to, and you don't want that person to make the mistake, I know you said not to force them, but what would be your advice?
Personally, when I see someone that I care about to go down the wrong path, I do two things. Depends on their personality. Let's say that I had a younger brother and he's going down the wrong path, and I know that he will make a serious mistake. Depends what relationship I've got with him. So if I can gently tell him, look, I've been there, done that, be careful, I will tell him in a very polite and respectful way, and in a way to make him come to the conclusion. I won't give him the full conclusion because he might reject it altogether. But you can ask him, if you put one and one together, how much is this? How much is this equal to? He will do the maths and understand himself. You don't need to make it too obvious as if you're teaching him or her. That's the one thing that I would do. If, of course, the personality of the other person doesn't allow you to talk to them because they will react from the beginning, and if you don't have the perfect relationship with them, then don't even try that. It will harm the other person more because they will do it quicker. They will just jump into it. So then we go to plan B, which can complement plan one if it works, and if not, it has to stand by itself, which is to pray for this person. And in which way do we pray for this person? You ask your favorite saint, if you have a favorite saint, or Panagia, the Mother of God, and you ask them, please open their eyes to see the truth. And please don't let them be too hurt. It's all right to be hurt a little bit, but if it is too much, sometimes it's too painful. And they will go through this pain, but you will also go through this pain if you love them. And you don't want this for anyone. So if you pray, God can show them some signs and they can wake up. It's never easy. And you will see that God allows us to make mistakes in our lives. There are lots of hints along the way, hints that we should not do something, and yet God lets us free to choose. So we have to let them free to choose. We can't make their decisions for them. It's not fair.
You know, we have another question through Facebook. The question is, what can a teenager or young adult do if they are torn between living in this secular life versus establishing a spiritual life? Can they enjoy both?
Yes. That's a very good question. Of course you can enjoy both. The thing is, how? What do I mean by that? If we want to have a spiritual life, if we want to have a spiritual family, let's say that we choose to get married, we need to choose a person with the same goals in life. If we choose someone who likes things to be done differently, or someone who likes things away from church, we need to ask ourselves if they are willing to change their ways or if we are willing to give up God, because it will come down to this, or to a divorce, as simple as that. So we need to be wise enough to see and read between the lines. Is this person having the same interest as I do? If not, how am I going to live with this person? If I want to go to church and go for Holy Communion, and my wife is telling me, again, what do you want to be, a saint? Yes, I want to be close to God, as simple as that. Why not? Do I tell you anything when you go shopping? I don't. So you need to have a common understanding in life. Otherwise, it doesn't work. And if someone wants to decide which path to take in life, if it comes down to, for example, monasticism or married life, I will tell you an example. When I was in Simonopetra in Mount Athos, in the monastery in Greece, I met a guy who was a visitor, and he told me a small story from his life. So once, before he decided whether to get married or not, he went to the monastery, one of the 20 monasteries in Mount Athos, the monastery of Kutulomusi, and he stayed there for a month, just to see the life. And then he got married. What do I mean by that? You test and see what you like. If you don't like the life, if you can't live the life, you will go and get married, as simple as that. But if you do like the life, it depends, again, how much you think you can handle, because both lives, they have their challenges. And, yes. But this is why people, they can go to a monastery and try out for a period of time without giving any promises or anything. And this is why people can also get engaged. This is what engagement is for, to get to know the other person. If you don't get to know the other person, it's not very promising. So that's why when engagements break, it's not wrong. That's what they're there for at the first place, to have the ability to be broken. Otherwise, what do you have them there for? It's not a marriage, it's an engagement. And you want to know within this engagement time what you feel for the other person and understand what the other person feels for you. And then this might give you the current guarantee that you can move on, or you might get a bitterness, a taste that it's not proper, and this tells you that you need to look somewhere else. This is how it is.
Any final questions? Do you have one more question if anyone wants to ask anything? Don't add anything?
Just a couple of simple things. First is that in our Orthodox Church, we do not believe in predestination that the Protestants talk about. What does this mean? This means that we don't believe that I was born to become a bishop and nothing else could have happened in my life. I could have done a lot of other things in my life. I chose to be this. So there is a choice in the Orthodox life. Always there is a choice. I could have chosen to become a chef, I don't know, anything. So God does not force us to do something, and this means that our destiny, it's not set in concrete. We choose which path to follow, and regardless what we choose, even if this was not going to be, let's say, God's first choice for us, God will still be there for us. And we can still be saved and become saints. It's just that sometimes if we choose the wrong path, might be a little bit tougher. But it doesn't mean that we won't get there. We can still get there. So there is no right or wrong, unless we feel inside us very strongly what's right, and then if we don't do it, we're stupid. And the second thing, they asked Saint Paisio once what to do. Someone asked him, what should I do? What should I do? Should I get married or should I become a monk? And what does God want from me? And Saint Paisio told this person, forget about what God wants from you. Try to find out what you want yourself. So we need to know what we want ourselves before we ask what God wants. Because if we ask what God wants and we feel very strongly about something, don't even bother asking God. God will be there helping you, but if you are not going to change your mind, just do what you want to do and God will be there. So it's very important to know what we ourselves want from life. And then, of course, we can surrender our will to God or not, but it's very important to know what we want. And sometimes we might be doing something opposite of what our heart desires because we think we do the right thing. But that's fine. I'll give you an example. Apostle Paul, who was one of the greatest saints in our church, to start with, he was persecuting Christians. So he was going towards Damascus to captivate Christians and bring them back to be killed. That's what he did. And on the way to Damascus, he had a vision. He saw God. And Christ told him, what are you doing? You're doing the wrong thing. And Paul changed. Why did he change? Because he wanted to do the right thing. It's just that he never knew what the right thing was. But deep down, he wanted to do the right thing. So if we do the wrong thing unconsciously, without understanding it, that's fine. As far as inside us, we have the right will to do the right thing. I don't know if this makes any sense. So don't be afraid of mistakes. That's all I'm saying. And I can't emphasize this enough. Don't be afraid of mistakes. It doesn't matter how many mistakes we might do in life. As far as inside that we want to do the right thing, it doesn't matter. We will end up doing the right thing. God will show us the way. And He will not let us make terrible mistakes. He will not. If we have love inside us, He will not let us make terrible mistakes. Somehow He will get us where we should be. That's it. Anyone else? Anything?
Does anyone have anything?
I just wanted to say what you just said earlier, and I think it's so important because I feel like a lot of people can be frozen. We can be frozen in indecision because we want it to be perfect. But like you said, it's okay to make mistakes. So.
Perfectionism might destroy us. It's a very big illness. If we don't understand that, even if we were to do the right thing without God's grace, it will end up to a disaster. And even if we were to do the wrong thing, if God helps us, it can turn around and become a success. If we don't understand this in life, we will end up nowhere. So it's good to try and be perfect, but perfectionism can be very destructive and can lead us into the wrong decisions. And by saying this, if someone is a perfectionist, we have a bigger struggle in front of us, but we need to remember that if we want to be perfectionists, at least be perfectionists in ourselves. Don't demand from others to see things the way you do. It doesn't work like that.
Thank you so much.